The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air, talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Soul of Jefferson.
Yes, the soul of Jefferson. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and
Janet Chandler
and Wynn Carpenter.
And we are here today at Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E. We're broadcasting live from KCNR Studios in downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM. We are your talk radio. If you want to call in, you have a question or a comment, it's area code 530-605-4567, 605-4567, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com. So, guys, the three of us are here with Patrick Jones. How you doing, Patrick?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. So we're expecting a call-in from Mark Cook, who basically is an advocate for hand counting and also an advocate for citizen oversight, citizen freedom when it comes to elections. He's from Colorado. He's known as one of Tina Peters' good friends and an advocate for her and someone who's been working to get her release. And so, Patrick, do you have anything to start off with before Mark calls in?
Oh, yeah, and so Mark called me last week kind of out of the blue. And, in fact, at first he said, hey, do you know who I am? And I couldn't remember at the time. And so he just started talking about that he's been going across the country for the last 3 years, county by county. And so we're going to have a town hall on this Friday coming up. The first, and then I did remember back that I remember watching his video, one of his videos, and so pretty fascinating guy. I think we're going to have a lot to talk about when he comes up.
Yeah, he there's no call yet, but I know he was doing a lot of traveling. He was when I talked to him, I talked to him for about 30 minutes a couple of days ago, and we had both been on Steve Stearns national call. We were both speakers on the call, and actually Steve Stearns, the one who gave me Mark's number to get a hold of him and talk to him about the Tina Peters situation. A lot of times we've had a lot of people come in, like Dr. Frank. We've had the Lone Raccoon. We've had, a lot of people come in. And I'm trying to wrap my head around where these people actually have taken us in a direction to where our board right now, and Clint Curtis seems to be taking us where we want to go in that regard, wanting to have more transparency in the election. And Janet, before I go any further, you had a couple of thoughts about Carl DeMaio, I thought would be.
Yes, we all want election reform. That's just a given. But we all have limited finances, limited time, and limited effort. And while I applaud every time citizens want to try to make a difference, they are using their constitutionally guaranteed right to petition for a redress of grievances. And we have a group in our county now who are doing that petitioning process, and I wish them well. But I also am wondering if we are at cross purposes when we have Reform California with Carl DeMaio, who is putting forth election reform, and he's putting it at the level where it would make a difference, and that's a state constitutional amendment. If I can only support one, and I'm not saying I can only support one, but if I could, I would go with Carl DeMaio and Reform California, because I think that would have a lasting effect.
Well, he is the legislator of California.
He is.
And that's important. He was duly elected into the legislature. So that helps.
And he's trying to change the state at that level.
Right.
It's a constitutional amendment, which we would not be sued by the state if Carl DeMaio's initiative passes. And those petitions will be out, I think, in October to start signing for his initiative.
You know, it's a shame to think that the state would even try to sue Shasta County. What do you say, Patrick, that they'd even try to sue us because we're trying to get transparency and get our elections clean, our roles and everything else cleaned up. You'd wonder how the people should have the right to reform their elections, especially on a local level.
Yeah, no, I was disappointed with the direction that the board took on this. And, you know, I know they take direction from county council, and I think a lot of times, you know, we do take the direction from county council, but there are times where I disagree with city attorneys and county councils, and I think this would be one of those where I would disagree. And, you know, you have two issues here. One, you have what I believe is to be right, and then you have a political issue as well. And, you know, politically, you just don't sue your citizens over trying to have, you know, transparent elections. And so that was a definite mistake that this board did by taking direction from county council. And, you know, with my years both on the city and the county, I've seen lots of attorneys. And, you know, in my opinion, they're only about right half the time. And you have to really research the issues, get second opinions, do the research, and sometimes you could go either way. It's not, you know, hard, fast law. Attorneys have opinions. I have opinions. We all have opinions. And so I, you know, particularly with the suit where individuals were suing the county and Tom Toller to follow the law, to me, they should have just conceded on those issues. Every single thing in that suit was correct, and things that needed to be done, and the city or the county did not need to expend any taxpayers' resources. They could just simply concede and say you're right, and that's all that would have happened. No money, but instead they're going to you know, that case is in an appeal right now, and to me that's also another mistake. And I think we're going to see some more mistakes coming up later in this year. And, you know, it's unfortunate. But, you know, it's one thing to protect the county for liability, but it's a different thing when you're trying to cover up wrongdoing from somebody.
So a quick question. When the board voted on doing this, what was the vote count? Was it a 5-0? Was it a 4-1? 3-2?
You know, I don't know. I know the majority voted for it. I think it was unanimous in a 5-0. I believe that's what it was.
What are you referring to?
That's important for people.
What are you referring to?
Well, there's a couple different suits here.
Yeah,
so,
that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, and I think they were all, for the most part, I don't think that there were any 3-2s or 4-1s. I think they were all 5-0s.
Okay.
See, that's important for the people to understand.
There's two suits or three? How many is there?
Well, I think there's two ongoing right
Toller
now.
Toller and what's the other one?
Yeah, that one's under appeal, and then the other one now that's moving forward, that where the county tried to stop the citizens from having the initiative.
With the title and summary and all
title
that
and
stuff.
Summary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so the court basically ordered the county council to write the title and summary. They were refusing to do so, and the board went along with that. And again, they should have stepped in there and said, hey, whether you think this is right or wrong, the public gets to vote on this, and then if the state feels it's wrong, then they can sue the county. That's up to the state if they want to sue the citizens of Shasta County for a direction that they want to go with regards to
election. And for those that are confused that are on the board, thinking that they're personally going to get sued, they are not.
Right.
They are representatives of the county, therefore it's the county that will be sued.
Correct. And, you know, suits come and go all the time. You know, it's just part of the deal. People can sue.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them can be frivolous, but some will have merit.
And the Board of Supervisors always has the right to say to the state, okay, we're not going to fight you.
Yeah, we're not going to fight
right.
you. And that's, I would think that at least that's the direction this thing is looking, is that they may just say, as you're saying, Janet, hey, you know, we don't want to fight you. Now, if that happens, how do the people get justice with the initiative that passed if the county's saying, hey, not our job, man? How do they get that? They would have to raise money, I would think.
Well, and I would argue that, you know, it is an important issue, and there are times where you take
I never said it wasn't important.
That you take the state on. And,
yeah.
And in fact, the county has done that. I was a part of suing on Fountain Wind, right?
Yes.
We didn't necessarily sue, but we did spend over $1 million fighting the Energy Commission. And the state, obviously, we made a decision, a land use decision with regards to wind turbines. The state comes around and passes legislation allowing the California Energy Commission to bypass us. That's fundamentally wrong.
Absolutely.
And then we spent taxpayers' money to push them back and so forth. That's been successful. The board also, did not choose to, you know, file suit against the state, for eliminating our ability to hand count. And I wanted to go forward and sue the state on that. I could not get the majority of the board to do so. So there are times where you do take the state on and you do spend money because it's important. And we just proved that by spending money, at least with the wind turbine issue and the land use decisions, that it was successful. We were pushing back on that. And that should have been important to every county in California, that you're no longer able to make these decisions. The Energy Commission will make them for you.
Yeah, and I think those were great decisions. And absolutely. I'm just saying that, I mean, this certainly wouldn't be my choice, but I'm just saying that the county, I would think at this point, the supervisors probably would just say, hey, not my job, man. You know, I'm just going to sort of wash my hands of it. Now, if they do that, you know, we don't want to fight you, state. If they do that, where do the people go? Because, you know, I'm going to vote. I would be happy to vote for that charter amendment. I'm happy to vote for that. However, if that's the case and the state does sue us and the county capitulates, where does that leave the people? That's my question.
I think the people should recognize at that point that this may not be the hill they wish to die on, and they could take it from a different direction. And then you go back to Carl DeMaio with Reform California. The two things that he is working for on that initiative are things that would impact Shasta County.
Absolutely.
And give them a lot of what they want. I applaud their efforts. I agree with everything they're trying to do, but I may not agree with the road they're taking to get there, because I think the bridges are out and the road has not been finished across that particular pass. Is it worth it putting our money and our effort at this time into that route?
Well,
and,
you know,
I'm not sure that that's what we want to do at this time. What I'm really concerned about too is an election coming up for two of our supervisors. And we have five supervisors, three of them are new, and I don't want to mess up the board with two more new supervisors. I think we need the continuity of the conservatives that are already on the board, and I don't want to put them in a position where they are fighting the people.
Okay, so what you're saying is basically that if the county board capitulates with the, yes, with the state, says, okay, we're not going to fight you, then the people who did the initiative should throw their efforts behind Carl DeMaio. Is that what you're saying?
Or something that is going to get them what they want without an extended lawsuit, time, money. Is it going to go anyplace when they are fighting against established state law?
Yep. We do have a caller on the line, Siskiyou Steve. What say you, sir?
God, you guys are bringing up so much. Janet, you're just really...
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%, but I also agree with Patrick that it is time to take the state on. The state's 100% corrupt. I mean, there's no doubt about it. We're being inundated with these chemtrails, the food, you know, and that maybe that's not the state, but, you know, again, war is black and white, and how far are we going to keep on playing this game of gray and not take it to black and white? And the Constitution is very clear: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That means we are all responsible. This welfare thing that we keep supporting and throwing money at has nothing to do with the Constitution. The Constitution is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Your liberty is your responsibility. It's black and white. The other question I have, if I may, is that I'm really confused about Dr. Frank and Laura Hobbs and what the heck is going on, because, you know, Patrick, you brought in Dr. Frank. That was a great thing. It really got things going. I'm trying to bring it to more light up here. And then, you know, I really love Laura Hobbs and what she's doing and the fight that she's been in since she the corruption of her election, and she should have been elected. And, you know, so now there's a confusion in my mind of they're kind of at each, they don't follow each other, or there's something that's not, they're not together on the same issues as far as this voting corruption going on and the integrity that we're trying to work for. That would be my question, is can you clarify where they're at together? Because now you're going to bring in this new speaker Friday, and I hope to come down for that because that sounds really interesting. Can you clarify the thing with Dr. Frank and Laura Hobbs?
Sure.
If there is anything really there, thank you.
All right, thanks, Steve. Well, you know, and over the years, in 2020, when I won my primary, and then I went on to the fall because I didn't get 50%, I got 42%. During that fall presidential campaign in my race, I felt that there were serious problems. Now, I still won my race, but it did not feel by the margins that I should have. And from that moment on, I wanted to learn more about our elections. And so we've had many people come into Shasta County, particularly after we got Supervisor Cry and Supervisor Kelstrom in. We finally now had a solid conservative board. One of the first things I did was get a motion going to get rid of the Dominion contract. That started getting international attention, and a lot of people had already known that. It was new to us, but Dr. Frank was already working on various issues. Clint Curtis was already been going around the country for decades. Seth Ketchell, Jovan Bulitzer, Jeffrey O'Donnell, and others. And so a lot of those we have gotten into town to share their experiences here with the public so that they can see what's going on. Now, for Friday, this Friday the 1st, at 3210 West Center Street in Anderson at the Anderson VFW. We do have Mark Cook coming in, and he's been traveling now for 3 years around the country, county by county. I had a talk with him last week a couple times, and he's got some great experiences. It's the same thing that we've seen here if you really pay attention. And so he'll be able to talk to the public about specific things. He's also on the team for Tina Peters. So if we want to know the truth about Tina Peters, he's going to be able to shed some light there. Now, I can tell you all these guys have a lot of information. They all are probably near geniuses in their perspective areas that they've been working on. You know, when you talk to Jovan, his motor's running 100 miles an hour, and he is tough to talk to. Super smart guy, has done a lot of work in elections, and he can tell you just about everything that went on in his state with elections. Does that mean he gets along with Dr. Frank? Does he get along with Seth Ketchell? Does he get along with Jeffrey O'Donnell? No. And so there's a lot of personal, very strong personalities here, and they all have their methods. And for me, I just want to shed light on the corruption within our elections. And for anybody that doesn't think we have any corruption, when you have three proprietary software systems for the entire country and you cannot look at them, you cannot inspect them, no one can. If you touch them, you will be in jail just like Tina Peters. That is insanity. When you have to trust three proprietary software systems, every county in the country has to do that. That just tells you right there that this is a corrupt system and we don't have fair elections. And for us, our eyes have been open to this just in the last few years, maybe 2, 3, 4 years. Some of these guys have been at it a lot longer than that. And really the question is the country ready for the truth? About
some states are.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole issue. It's really the states. I mean, we can go on about all this stuff and what they talk about. And I'm glad you brought your dog in here, Patrick. He was licking my leg. But anyway, yeah, I mean, the whole deal is that we have these folks. And I talked to Dr. Frank for about an hour. So, Steve, if you want to call me later, I can tell you about what happened with that. But they're really not all agreeing, and that is kind of a challenge. And we're getting information that I think we need to have homegrown information. That's just my own opinion. We have Laura on the line. Laura, what say you?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to address Steve briefly to say that there's no animus between I and Dr. Frank. I love Dr. Frank. He's got a little bit of a different goal in mind than what we have going on here locally. So until September, when we turn in our petitions you know, we're not able to actually do the work that Dr. Frank has in mind for Shasta County. It's just a mild delay, but we will be working with him absolutely in the future. And I wanted to address the differences between Carl DeMaio's approach and what we're doing here locally, because Janet brought up a very good point, which is that they're trying to do this at the state level. And what Carl DeMaio wants to do, I don't know if Janet was there, but he spoke to us here in Shasta County on the 18th of July, and he said that he anticipates that the state will be suing him as well. So there's no way to go about it to avoid being sued if you're going to try to take back your liberty and your freedom from the tyrannical state of California. That's just the unfortunate truth of the matter, is that California is going to fight tooth and nail to keep us where we're at, keep us in the dark, to keep us with fake elections where we're no better than slaves. So I just wanted to say that and clear the air about that. And I would like to see our local supervisors understand that this is important for our liberty, for our freedom here in Shasta County, for our sovereignty. And the fact of the matter is Carl DeMaio, he's got he took a very limited scope. He's just focusing on voter ID. He wants to continue with mail-in ballots as they are now, so everyone gets them. What we want to do is go back to prior to COVID, where only the people who request them get them. Carl DeMaio wants to keep going full force with the mail-in ballots. That's a big problem. That's a big avenue for fraud in our election system. Carl DeMaio has some other good things that we don't have in ours, and I think they will be complementary in the end. But again, they will be facing lawsuits as well. So I just wanted to make that point.
Yeah, Laura, I just want to get a comment from you on that. As far as what Carl DeMaio is doing, the fact that he may get sued also, you know, again, are you still there, Laura?
I'm
trying to figure out, and maybe I'm just, and I'm not trying to, for me to not see, if the people's will is something, why wouldn't the supervisors back them with everything they have if it's the people's will? I'm not saying right, wrong, or indifferent, but am I missing something here?
Well, it's unknown. I think here, and I know most of the supervisors. I've known actually Corky probably longer than any of the others. I know Kellstrom the longest, and then Corky, and then Kevin the least amount of time. But they don't. We try to avoid lawsuits, obviously,
right.
and taking on the state. Our council can't do that. We have to hire outside counsel. So now you're talking $500-$700 an hour type of attorneys, and things get very expensive. And as we know, in court, justice is often not found. And so you can spend, and that's most of the time. And so you can spend a lot of money and not get justice. So I understand their reservations about trying to minimize liability for the county when you know it's right, but at the end of the day, you're not going to get justice.
Right.
And that's very common in California. I've seen that personally. I haven't had any success in court at all.
So then what do you, as a former supervisor, what do you suggest they do?
Well, they're in a tough position. They truly are. I personally feel very, very strongly about elections, probably more than any of the other supervisors, because I've watched it. I've seen my race. I know my races have been affected, and that then becomes personal to me that I want to fix that. And I do believe the state of California is highly involved in this. And so for me, that's a fight you take on, because they're cheating people. We have people in office that should not be in office. We have decisions that are being made, that are basically, fraudulent decisions because they shouldn't be there. So this is the battle. This is the one where you do spend money.
So you were saying that you think they should take California on. Now, you think they should on this issue because it's voter integrity, but you understand why they're not. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, so here's the decision. So the public hasn't spoken on this yet.
Right, exactly. Right?
So, again, once I think this will be interesting for the board is once if the signatures are acquired and then it goes to the vote, and the voters back it up, I think the board should support that.
Okay.
And sue the state, because now they're going with the will of the voters. Right now, they don't have that in their power.
Right.
And so they're going to be reluctant. But once the public says, yes, this is what we want you to do, then I think that's what they do.
Okay, I have a question for you after the break, but we're going to have to go off to our break real quick. And then I have a quick question for you, Patrick. And Laura, thank you for the call. Good stuff. And time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
Okay, so...
Need help with your health insurance? We've got you covered. At Shasta Community Health Center, we offer this free service to our community. Our enrollment counselors can assist you with new applications, renewals, troubleshooting, and answering your questions about covered California plans or Medi-Cal, also known as Medicaid or Partnership Health Plan. We're here to help you make the best choice for you and your family. Call our outreach and enrollment team at 530-229-5117 to get help today. Shasta Community Health Center, because SCHC cares.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
If you're 50 years or older, come down to Wind River Resort and Casino for our Senior Day promotion every Wednesday.
Play with your River Club card on any of our favorite slot machines and receive 5x points from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Don't forget to claim your bonus points at any of our promotional kiosks before you leave.
While you're in points,
you can put your points back on your slot machine for more playtime or redeem your points for dining vouchers, gas vouchers, or a variety of other prizes at the River Club.
For more information, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN.
Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
It's Psalm 23 when I'm scared to death, a sleeping pill when my mind won't little baby king when the thrill is gone. These are the things that I lean on. God's grace when I'm walking on a dangerous path. 12 steps when I need to find my way back. My mama's voice on the telephone. These are the things I lean on. When I've done something sorry about
great song, Sally Lou. Great song. Okay, we are back, and we have Richard on the phone. Richard, what say you?
Hey, good morning, everybody. Well, too bad the gentleman didn't call in. Maybe another time. Obviously, we'll see him on the first. I may have to disagree with Janet. She said we've got some conservatives on the Board of Supervisors now that maybe we want to keep in office. I'm going to have to disagree with that. They've had a you know, they're doing some good things, you know, organizationally, structurally, financially, doing a couple of good things, nipping and tucking and this and that, and efficiency. They are doing some good things, yes. However, comma, without a fair and transparent election, nothing else matters. We lost almost all of our conservative wins from 2022, Gateway School Board, et cetera, et cetera. We've lost almost all of them because we're still in the corrupted election system, and we have made no positive gains there locally, where our Board of Supervisors, in conjunction with a good ROV, now that we have one, both of them together can make massive immediate change via ordinance.
How did we get that ROV? Richard, how did we get that ROV in office?
Well, that's a whole other interesting story. Why didn't we pick him last time?
No, but it was Chris and Kevin time that made that happen, so.
Well, again, the board has some authority here, and they're acquiescing, and they're giving their authority to the ROV and saying, here, fix this, when the board should be working with the ROV. And where's the election commission? Where's that? So I'm sorry.
Okay, Rich, rebuttal time.
Sure.
Yes, the county is multi-issues, and the election issues is not the only thing that the board is concerned with, and that's not the only thing that makes me decide how I'm going to vote.
Yeah.
It is important. And I think that the Board of Supervisors is in a spot now where the best thing they can do is sit and wait until the people have spoken. In the meantime, there are other issues that the Board of Supervisors is dealing with. And there are two board members that I want to see counteracted. And I don't want to just throw out the baby with the bathwater and say that Kevin Cry and Chris Kellstrom have not been doing what I want them to do on an election issue that is still up in the air and has not yet been decided. I'm playing the long game. I want those two men to stay on the board because I think what they're doing overall is good. And if we throw them out, what are we going to get instead?
Well, if they're going to act like rhinos, then Miles will just put rhinos back in office.
Well, sometimes rhinos are better than the alternative, and I'm not calling them rhinos. I think they're doing a decent job for the county overall, and I'm not going to vote them in or out based on just the election issue, which I think has a multifaceted ability to be approached, whether it's at the state level with Carl DeMaio or the county level with your initiative, which I think is a valid and valiant effort.
And thank you, by the way. And like you said, Janet, our local initiative, we're on a dirt road, right? I get it. Yeah, the road's not paved ahead. Of course. We're trailblazing, right? That's what Shasta County does. We trailblaze to try to get our sovereignty, our local control, and everything we can. Remember, in a constitutional republic, it's bottom-up governance, and we're trying to do that. The 2 years of Patrick, his last 2 years on the board, we had a majority. I believe was a concern.
Hey, Rich, Patrick has something to say, so I wanted to.
Yes.
Well, and you know, thanks, Rich, for calling in, and I agree with Richard most of the time, but on the issue of the conservatives on the board, you know, I served, for 8 years on Reading City Council, and there were so many 4-to-1s. I was standing by myself time and time again. I rarely ever was able to count to 3. And, when you elect people, you're taking the whole. And, you know, look at what we got done. Chris and Kevin stayed with me to get rid of Dominion, and we made international news. We got the Second Amendment resolution passed. We did a lot of good things. Did they agree with me on everything? No. Are they agreeing with me on everything right now? No. But they're far, far, far better than anything we've had in the past, I can guarantee you. And so if we don't support this, and I had this talk with an individual back when Kevin Cry was first running against Aaron Reznor, and they were trying to beat up on Kevin. And I said, hey, the more you beat up on Kevin, you're just going to let Reznor win, and we know what she's about. And so you know, for me here, I'm gonna be very strong with these two individuals that are coming up for re-election. And again, they didn't agree with me on every issue, but I still very much support both of them for the work that they've done and the work that they're going to do in the future. Do they make mistakes? Are they perfect like me? No. But
I just I understand everything. I do. I heard that, and I gave them some kudos for things they've been doing. But again, if we don't change the election system at any level possible, simultaneous too, by the way, we can walk and chew gum. Let's put a lot of time and effort, and maybe even some money at the county level in fighting the state proactively. Why are we waiting to get food? Let's be proactive and gain our fair and transparent election system. Otherwise, we're going to continue to get the same results. And I do appreciate the time today. Thank you.
All right. And I wanted to just, when Mark called me last week, in fact, he texted me right after, he said, hey, Mark Cook here, Hand Count Roadshow. Dr. Frank said you were the person to talk to coordinate as I come through there. Can you give me a shout in a few? I'm in Colorado with Tina Peters right now. We'll be on the steps of the courthouse in 2 hours. And so that was his first text that he got. And then he sent me his bio with all the, right, the day-to-day things, the IT management, technical direction, support, network, design, database administration, cybersecurity, all these various things. And then I quickly got into him with, you know, our HART civic machines. And we had, in my race, we had 23 time changes, right, you know, 1 minute. And he said he's seen that all over the country. And he knows exactly what that is, and he can talk specifically about that and what that means in your elections when it's so corrupted that you cannot reproduce your audit.
I have a question about that. Okay, and that's fine. That's great information, but again, it's just information. Where do we go to get justice? I mean, where do we go to get justice?
That's from God.
Well, but God will give us an answer on where we go. I mean, at what point, and maybe this sort of addresses everything we've talked about, at what point do we just say no?
Well, the whole idea here with having Mr. Cook here and having Dr. Frank and Seth Ketchel and all these guys, and I would like to have Joe Vaughn here, as difficult as he is, because they have information that they've seen in various places where they're from or across the country. Now, Mark Cook is interesting because he's been literally all over the country. And so that's a great perspective as to the problems that he's seen. So he can let people here know that these are real problems. They're everywhere. And can he fix them alone? No, he's been out there traveling 3 years. It's simply information to the public. And if anybody sits on the fence and is wondering, because there are still people that believe that we have fair elections, and he has real data. And he is one of the very few guys that he was able to look into one of these three proprietary software systems. He was able to analyze that. I don't know anybody else that was, that had that capability. And he can tell you what he sees within those systems. So it's a great opportunity. This is a free event, for the first, and all the events that we do, are free. These guys are traveling around at great expense. And, in fact, another email that I got from Mark, and he said, sorry for the delay. I was in a car accident yesterday. My car was totaled. He said, God kept me alive. I'll be back in California shortly. I'm out of the hospital, and even my laptop was damaged. His laptop was damaged, but he's coming here, and he's going to be here, banged up and bruised, but he's committed to coming here. And he's, yeah, and so this is he's had a tough last week or so, but a very interesting guy, very sharp. And, you know, for me, I'm super interested in the things that I witnessed firsthand in the primary of 2023. Those things are real. I saw them. And what was interesting on, you know, the duplication process, because, as you know, our ballots wouldn't scan. They said they wouldn't scan. And they said there was an ink overspray issue. I do not know if that's fact, but that's what was said. And then Runbeck had this magic machine that would duplicate these ballots. Mark Cook knows all about that. He's seen it before. And then they weren't producing all the marks that the voter had made. And no one else was talking about it, yet I witnessed it firsthand and then reported it back to the board, but nothing got done. Now we have written letters to the U.S. Department of Justice, and we'll see what becomes of that. But guys like Mark Cook, he can explain why those things happened the way they did and what the purpose was.
Okay, we have a caller on the line. Mystery Dave. Mystery Dave.
Excellent.
Hey, Mystery Dave. What's going on, buddy?
I agree with Carl DeMeo's voter initiative, but it is an uphill battle because it has to qualify, which is going to require well over 500,000 signatures. And if he gets the qualification, the state Supreme Court may strike it down like they did with Howard Jarvis's Taxpayer Protection Act in the last election and like they did with Tim Draper's state split initiative. But if they don't strike it down, you can count on the corrupt California State Attorney General to write an awful ballot title and summary, which is all most voters ever read. And, of course, the corrupt special interests will spend millions to defeat it if it does get on the ballot. So that's why I think there needs to be a countywide effort, too, because DeMeo's effort seems like a long shot because at the state level, everything is so corrupt.
Well, I think it's a good point about, you know, there's 500,000, but, that's not very many. I mean, I'm not saying that 500,000 isn't very many, because I know that we've had the initiative to recall Newsom, I think was like 1.1 million or something. It was an insane amount. So 500,000 isn't that much, and you're right. I mean, I think that the counties need to stand up. That's why I was saying, I mean, at what point do you just say no? And, you know, again, the thing that we're doing in Shasta County, both Janet and Patrick put it perfectly. We aren't there yet. You know, nothing has happened as far as that being either passed or not passed, voted on or not. Once it gets voted on, you know, we're going to have a clearer vision. But anyway.
Justice is a continuum. It is not a destination. We are constantly working towards justice to give us liberty. And the wheels of justice grind exceeding slow, but they grind exceeding fine. And right now, we are still in the process of doing justice and working towards liberty and the goals that we want for fair elections. It is time for people to back something, to sign petitions, to let to let our legislators and our state, I hesitate to call them leaders, know that we are unhappy out here. That's our job, and anything that works in that direction, I support and favor.
They're all representatives, what they are.
They are.
They're not leaders, because they are not doing a very good job of that, so they are representing us in a very poor way.
And the problem is now they're not even representing us.
That's correct.
Yeah.
But that's what they were elected to do. And you think about the 500,000 votes that signatures that need to be acquired through the 58 counties in the entire state, you're looking at 8,600 signatures per county. Given the average that, you know, some of these counties that are very small, like Alpine that has 1,400 people, you're going to get maybe 10 signatures there. But overall, average is 8,600 signatures per county. I think that's a doable number.
Absolutely right. I have four goals for the next year. First of all, I want to see election reform, whether it's at the state or the county level. I want to support a conservative governor for California. I want to support Chris Kellstrom and Kevin Cry for re-election on the board, and I want to support a four-way state split, because I think ultimately that's our best chance of getting justice.
Okay, amen, amen.
Lori, sorry about that. The only reason we cut you off is because Mark Cook, I believe, is trying to call in. And so but Lori, once he's done, feel free to call back. I think this is...
Yeah, he's been on the road, so I know he's difficulty with getting through, but I think he may be coming through right about now.
Yeah, so let's see. Mark Cook? Okay. Mark, Terry Raposa, how are you, sir?
Yes, normal.
You're normal.
Yes, indeed.
That's great, that buddy. Beautiful. Normal's good.
Still getting over the accident.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, if there wasn't for bad luck, you wouldn't have any, would you?
Hey,
well, it's not luck. It's the demonic forces that are trying to destroy our country and all that is good.
Hey, Mark, we've only got about 10 minutes left in the show, and so the floor is yours. Can you kind of give us a very compacted version of what people might see for our town hall on this Friday?
Absolutely. So I got involved as I'm an IT cybersecurity consultant. Just normal citizen, started my business when I was 13 years old, and been an entrepreneur my whole life. And I got involved in the elections. Right after the 2020 election, someone that knew what I knew called me and asked me if I'd go out and try to figure out what happened, help some people in D.C. So I said, absolutely, because I kind of thought something looked a little bit odd myself, and I wanted to get to the bottom of it, whatever it was. And once I got there, I realized we have been lied to by so many people in so many ways. Within the first 2 weeks of me being out there working on the election stuff, someone dropped a Biden laptop in my hands and asked me if I could take a look at it and examine it, realized, well, all our intelligence agencies lied to us. It is actually real, and they had it and sat on it and kept it hidden from the American people for a whole long time. And at that point, I realized, all right, well, the lies go deep. The deep state is real. And when I looked in the election systems, I realized that an election ecosystem had built that had completely removed the citizens from the entire process. And the elections that are supposed to belong to the citizens had been taken out from under them without them really realizing it over a period of decades, and especially over the recent years, pretty quickly. And when I saw all that and realized that they have built so many different ways to manipulate our elections into the systems, and of course there's political manipulation, there's lies and blackmail and bribery and threats and all that stuff, but the digital realm of our elections, the part that people can't understand and can't see, most people at least, we're sitting ducks. The citizens of the United States are sitting ducks. And there's no way anyone designed this system intentionally this stupid and complex. So the only option that leaves, and I completely still agree with this to this day, and it just becomes more and more clear as the days go on, that this whole system was intentionally designed to be able to manipulate, tamper with our elections, control the results while making them look believable to the rest of the citizens. And that is the cold, hard reality, unfortunately. I have testified all over the country. I've investigated all these elections in Georgia, in Arizona, in Texas, in Washington. I've traveled the country. So that's what I'm doing. I went and bought a truck and a trailer, and I am traveling state to state, county to county, investigating this, investigating the people involved in it, the systems involved, and helping the citizens figure out a path out of this. Because this country does belong to us. The government are our servants. They seem to be a little confused about that. And the citizen base actually seems to be a bit confused. A lot of the citizens think the government runs the show.
Right.
And that's something that really needs to be reset.
Yep.
The government, those people, we elect to serve us. That's it. So that's what I'm talking about. I'll talk about all the inside stuff that happened, what was going on in and around D.C. during the aftermath of the 2020, and every step we need to take going forward to reclaim our elections.
You know, Mark, I have a quick question for you, a couple of them. This is Terry. You're absolutely right. What we have now is an inverted hierarchy where the people aren't on the top. They believe the government is. And I think a lot of this, too, is there's a lot of, I want you to comment on this, a lot of people think that President Trump could fix everything, but there's a thing called jurisdiction, interposition, and nullification. He doesn't have the jurisdiction over a lot of different things. Okay, so anything, and of course we know Congress has the power to fix the elections. They have the power to do it. And the scuttlebutt I'm getting, you might be getting something different, that's the question. The scuttlebutt I'm getting is that Congress, the House and the Senate are really not doing what the President wants them to do. Is that something you're seeing? What are you seeing?
There's a lot of moving pieces. The deep state does not want to give up their election illusion system, because that's what they use to gain and maintain their power over everything. That's their main tool. That's how they keep the whole machine going, is that. And the president can only do so much. So what we need to do is we need, at the county level, from bottom up, we need to control what we have the power to control, which is the people we live and work with every day, the people in our communities. We've got to exercise our power as citizens, and these local governments is how we truly protect ourselves. So that's the bottom-up approach. the top-down approach is what a lot of good people and President Trump are working on, but they can only do so much. So we're going to all have to meet them in the middle is what we've got to do, bottom-up, top-down, and we'll probably have to come in from the side as well. And that's kind of my approach, is the bottom-up and coming in through the side. And when I talk about coming in through the side, I'm talking about fifth-generation warfare. And if people are not familiar with that, we're going to touch on that as well, so people understand, you know, this is a war. It's not a traditional war. We don't have bullets flying, but we do have manipulation of and a takeover of our country. It just looks different, so people aren't recognizing it. That's the problem. So absolutely, it's a multifaceted. I've written an EO executive order, a proposed executive order for the Trump admin with a group of other people. And that would actually be able to trigger moving elections right back into the hands of the people, at least for federal elections.
Well, let me ask you. Let me ask you this. So, again, Congress, the Constitution is very clear. Congress has the jurisdiction, the president doesn't. And I want to get your take on, it seems as if the last three presidents we've had are running this country on executive order, not on the balance and the basis of the Constitution. What say you?
Yeah, I completely agree. Our Constitution is essentially just being ignored, and it is being run in every other possible way. So one of the paths is an executive order to move, or at least require, any federal elections or any elections that are run with a federal component, federal races, or that are run on federal money, to basically be required to be run in accordance with our Constitution.
Would that take separating the ballots? Are you talking about separating the ballots, local and federal?
I guess they'd have to. It'd be up to the states to do
that. I think, yeah.
But at least the federal would have to be run a certain way, because Article 4, Section 4 of our Constitution guarantees us a Republican form of government. If we, the people, cannot verify our own elections to determine if we have a Republican form of government, then there is no guarantee. And so our elections right now as they stand are in complete violation of Article 4, Section 4 of our Constitution in a number of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to restore that so we can start restoring a semblance of what's right in our country. And it's got to start somewhere. So we can try to help people in the county levels realize what's going on, and the counties can start taking back control and start fighting, basically, at the state. We need a coalitions of counties being developed all over the country.
You're
standing
absolutely
up
right.
The states.
Absolutely right.
In addition to just, you know, top down. So
yeah.
There's a lot of ways to fix this, but we need to start implementing all of them. That we need a full spectrum return of our elections to the people.
Mark, in Article 11 in the California Constitution, the counties are illegal subsidies. We can have charter counties. We can actually, and that doesn't mean we're an arm of the state. It means we actually have the jurisdiction to pass some laws to uphold the Constitution, which is something that even as liberal as California is in Article 11, we've got that. So I'm excited to hear what you have to say, brother. I'm glad you're doing okay. I'm glad you're doing okay. Drive slow, safe.
I always do. I was stopped when I got in the accident. I was going 0 miles an hour, just sitting there waiting, and all of a sudden, two massive trucks rear-ended me and accordioned my Jeep.
Hey, very briefly, Mark, how is Tina Peters holding up?
She's hurting. She's sitting there. They've locked a citizen in a cage because she dared to look into the election system, and she risked exposing their illusion. She risked allowing the citizens to see how the magic trick was done. And that's why they had to punish her, because they cannot have any election officials who really they've reduced to just button pushers at this point. They cannot have any election officials that are close to this system do anything that would expose that it is just an illusion to the citizens.
Mark, we only have We only have about 30 seconds left, but I want to let people know when you're going to be here and everything. We're excited to have Mark Cook here in Shasta County. It'll be at 5 p.m. on Friday, August the 1st, in Anderson at the Anderson VFW. It's a lot of good parking out there. Get there early. And, Mark, we appreciate you, brother. Can't wait to see you.